evolution, what it teaches, and here's some of the false teachings we've been looking at as far as what they've used to indoctrinate and teach us to believe in evolution. Now, praise the Lord, some of you have grown up and you haven't really gotten any of these things. You've been able to be in a Christian school or homeschooled where you're not getting this stuff, and praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't matter, even if you are in those situations, this is still going to affect all of us. All of us have some of this philosophy just trickles through into our thinking, whether we realize it or not. And this is some of the false stuff they've used to teach that evolution is true, and it's led millions to believe in evolution, and it's all based on lies for the most part. Nebraska man. Let's learn about him. Isn't that a good picture they drew of him? Nebraska man, there's his wife down there. All right. Beautiful family, huh? All right. Nebraska man here in 1917. Get this. A single tooth was discovered in Nebraska by a rancher named Harold Cook. And lo and behold, we've got this drawing of him and his wife from a single tooth. I'm telling you, this is science. When people stand there and tell you, I believe science, this is what they're talking about. This is what they fall back on. Well, science says, science proves. Well, this is it. So a single tooth was found by a rancher named Harold Cook. In 1922, Cook sent the tooth to Henry Osborne, one of America's foremost fossil experts. He was the president of the Museum of Natural History. He and other experts said that it was the tooth of an ape man. Tooth of an ape man, there you go. No doubt they wanted their own ape man to compete with Piltdown Man in England. If you remember, see if I can go back a little bit here, we can get to Piltdown Man. The earliest Englishman, okay, remember that one was also known, found to be a fraud. He was used as evidence that the Bible's not true. Let me see, I want to get back to the slide where it showed what they actually found of his. I don't know if I'm mixing it up with another one. I just want us to see it. No, okay. All right. So it said the bones of an ape man had been found in the gravel pit in Sussex, England. We looked at this stuff a couple weeks ago. I found out that they were really just the bones of a man, I believe, if I'm not mixing this up with another one as I read through these. Piltdown played a large role in proving evolution during the first half of the 20th century. We looked at this stuff again. I'm just kind of recapping. Darwin theory is proved true. The New York Times puts that out. Okay, and these are the things that was used to really change the 20th century in the coming into the early 1900s. We're going to get into the Scopes monkey trial and look at that thing. How many of you have heard of the Scopes monkey trial? Okay, that thing was used big time to push evolution. That's what really gave the media, I guess, the gall to begin mocking the Bible. It started back then. Okay, so this is dated December 22nd, 1912. New York Times, Darwin theory is proved true. The London Illustrated News, December 1912, published a drawing of Piltdown on its cover. So there we go, from bones, they get this whole picture, and they don't, it's just nonsense anyway. The drawings, the models depict him as an ape man, okay? That's what he looks like, at least according to them. I want to get to something else. All right, this right here. In 1953, the British Museum ran new tests on the bones and concluded that they were fake. Someone had taken an ape jawbone and part of a human skull and treated them with chemicals to make them look old, and this was used to prove evolution. And then we get to Nebraska man, okay? 1917. Hey, they got to keep up with, you know, the people over in England to push this thing. And there's definite fame involved in it. These people that discover these things, they do get rich, they get fame. So there's definitely an agenda there. So he and the other experts said it was a tooth of an ape man. They find this tooth. No doubt they wanted their own ape man to compete with Piltdown Man in England. They gave it the scientific name Hesperopithecus, which means ape of the Western world. In June 1922, the Illustrated London News published a drawing of Nebraska Man, his wife, and their tools. And there they are, beautiful family. All right, that year, Henry Osborne said the Nebraska Man constitutes irrefutable evidence that the man-ape wandered over from Asia into North America. How do they know where he came from? They find dead bones. They find bones. Not even bones. They find a tooth, okay? I mean, but this is irrefutable evidence that they wandered over the ape man. Is it that? Look again, we have to kind of think critically. Because if you find bones, say you're just out wandering around in the desert or whatever, and you find bones, does that prove at all that those bones ever had children? No, you don't know if those bones ever had any children or what once belonged to those bones ever had any children. We have no proof of that. So just because they find these and they say it's the missing link, well, how do you know they even had kids? You don't know that. We don't know that. But this is the proof that's used. And people just don't think critically. They just accept it because science says that this is what happened. And now they say, well, science proves evolution is true. Time and time again, it's found false. In 1925, he published The Earth Speaks to Brian. Okay, William Jennings Bryan. He was the lawyer that argued in the Scopes Monkey Trial for creation. Okay. So The Earth Speaks to Brian. What's he saying? The evidence is going against you, Brian. You're a fool. Okay. He mocked William Jennings Bryan, a Christian who believed in creation. Osborne said the Nebraska man tooth speaks volumes of truth. The tooth. A tooth. I mean, really, you found a tooth and that's the evidence you're going off of is one tooth? How do you know even what that went to? You don't. You found a tooth. It's ridiculous. Nebraska man and Piltdown man were used at the Scopes trial in 1925 as evidence that evolution is true and that it should be taught in public schools. So these things we now know are false were used at the Scopes monkey trial to prove that evolution's true. And by the way, none of this has changed. They keep using false evidence to push evolution because they have an agenda they're trying to push. And there's so much that goes in that. I mean, eugenics and everything along with that. Just we need to understand that. But it was used to teach that evolution should be taught in public schools because it's true. Look at that. What's that? 1925. 90 years ago. Just 90 years ago in this country, evolution was not really taught in schools. This was what they used to push evolution being taught in schools 90 years ago. And look at how far and how fast we've fallen. Just think about it. Brother Murdoch was here last week and he said we went to, you know, Australia and he says, and they're just all, you know, atheistic minded. They're, I'm losing the word that I'm trying to think of. But basically reject any idea of God. Why? That comes from this right here. This is where it happens and we think America's not going to head in the same direction. Absolutely we are. We are headed that direction at breakneck speed. Downhill, down an icy slope. I mean, the best we can do is we can stem the tide right here. And this is what every church, every lighthouse needs to be, is stem the tide within this. And help our young people get it, because they're the ones coming up and they're the ones changing what they believe and or what they've been taught. Maybe they never believed it. But we've got to teach them these things so they can look at it and say, that's nonsense. That doesn't even fit the evidence that is there. But we have to start getting the information to ourselves. And look, dig into it yourself. Don't just rely on your preacher to get it for you. Study these things out yourself. I mean, I hope this, as we look at some of this stuff, it drives you to look into it more, because we're really just doing just like a baseline, just touching on things. Let this drive you to look at it more. I mean, you kids in school, if you're in public schools and you're getting taught this garbage, teach yourself, train yourself to think critically. What is this actually saying? Because I'm telling you, they have smart people who are going to write in these books and they're going to word it a certain way so it gets you to instantly start thinking that what they're saying is right, without you even realizing it, just in the way they're wording it. And we don't quite catch that all the time. All of us are guilty of those things. The Scopes trial was a major turning point in American history. It convinced many people that evolution is true and the Bible is wrong. Although the evolutionist side lost the trial, it still did much damage. Okay, because they were, the law that they had was broken, so they actually lost the trial, but it did convince people that evolution's true and the Bible's wrong. Here's where it became popular for the press to mock the Bible. It became acceptable for evolution to be taught in public schools. But as we have seen, Piltdown Man turned out to be a hoax, and the Nebraska man was a pig. There you go. Hey, science proves evolution. We sure about that? Not based on the evidence. False evidence. So, look, this should tell us, if anything, it should tell us that when maybe what we're taught in science class, we go to the Natural History Museum here in town or whatever, and we're getting taught some things, we should realize that the people behind this have absolutely no problem lying to us. Lying to us. I mean, you're there with your children, and this is, oh, billions and billions of years ago, and just look at your kids and say, that's nonsense, that's not true. I mean, start teaching them that from a young age. And then if you say, well, I don't have all the answers for them, well, then get some information like this and start learning it and start teaching them. I mean, this is what we need to do. But Nebraska Man was a pig. After additional bones of the creature were found, Nebraska Man turned out to be a pig. Amazing. Neanderthal Man. In 1860, a year after Darwin published On the Origin of Species, human fossil bones were found in the Neanderthal Valley in Germany. Additional bones were found later in other parts of Europe and elsewhere. In 1907, Ernest Haeckel, remember, he's the one that did the drawings, okay, of the, whatever, in the womb, the different creatures in the womb, trying to make them look similar. He claimed that Neanderthal was an ape man. In 1908, French scientist Marcelin Boule also said Neanderthal was an ape man. He said he had a great toe just like an ape, and he walked, bent over, and shuffled along like an ape. Bull said Neanderthal only had very rudimentary speech. I guess he must have heard him speaking or something. I don't know how he would know that, but that's what he said. So science says it, so we believe it. In 1909, the Illustrated London News published a drawing of Neanderthal as a stooped, hairy ape man with a club in his hand. And that's the drawing that they put together. How they get all this, I don't know, but look, it looks believable, doesn't it? As we see it, we're like, well, yeah, that's a hairy ape man. And science says it, so they wouldn't lie to us. It's indoctrination. The drawing by František Kupka was based on Bull's description. In 1919, H.G. Wells said Neanderthal stooped forward and could not hold his head erect. He was chinless and perhaps incapable of speech. This guy didn't ever hear him speak, I guess. In 1930, the Field Museum in Chicago set up a display of a Neanderthal family living in a cave like animals. This model appeared in countless textbooks, encyclopedias, magazines, newspapers, and museums. That view prevailed for nearly half a century. All right, let's grab our Bibles, go to Ephesians 6. I may have had us do this before. I just want to remind us, okay? I want us to see this. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the wiles, the tricks, the deceit. Okay? The wiles of the devil. So he's going to try and deceive us. Remember, he's the father of lies. Okay? Jesus told us that in John. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And look, that's exactly what this is. It said this model appeared in countless textbooks, encyclopedias, magazines, newspapers, museums, spiritual wickedness in high places, I'm telling you, where this stuff can disseminate. And it looks like the authorities are teaching us this. The authorities have all accepted this. And that's just what's going to happen. Look, we could look at a lot of things like this. I think of the gay agenda as the very same thing. Most of this country does not agree with it. They're not accepting of it, but it comes from the top. And they say it's a natural thing. It's a normal thing. Our president is condoning it. And so people begin to see that and they start to soften on it. Christians, don't back down on these things. Don't back down on what the Bible says, because the whole world's against us. Colossians 2:8 warns us, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They're going to try and deceive us. They're going to try and ensnare us. They're going to try and spoil us. That word spoil means like going and I'm going to rob you. Think of it like back in the day when they would go, you know, go to war and they'd take over a town or something. The spoils of war, they'd go take everything from them that they wanted. And that's what it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Right here. Philosophy. vain deceit, the wiles of the devil. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to spoil us. He's trying to steal from us. He's trying to steal what God has planted in our hearts, the Word of God. And you look at the parable of the sower that went forth to sow and the different types of soil that there were. And it says one landed on the wayside. And what is that? That's a hard heart that doesn't allow it to penetrate. And the devil comes down, and the devil, as soon as that seed's planted, he comes and he takes it and it's gone. Spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the traditions of the world and not after Christ. Beware. Beware. That's what the devil's trying to do. And we want to walk around and pretend like he doesn't exist. Like there's not a spiritual battle going on. Like he's not going after our souls. Like he's not trying to keep men and women from trusting Christ as their Savior. Like he's not trying to keep Christians from living for Him and standing for Him. And what he wants to do more than anything, if you get saved, he just wants to, hey, just stand back. Just be a pacifist. Don't stand for nothing. Don't ever speak up about anything that the Bible says anything about. Just be willing to back down on everything. He says, I'm all right with that. You can tell everyone you're a Christian. Just don't actually stand for any of it. And that's where we're at today. That's where we are at today. Christians are backing down on everything. Your family may get mad at you. Your family may, you know, despise you over some of the stands you take. You have to decide, am I willing to stand there? Especially, let me just say, some of you first generation Christians. What do I mean by that? Okay, like my family, I would be a first generation Christian. Praise God, my kids aren't. Okay, they're growing up where this stuff, where, you know, if my kids go farther than me, praise the Lord. If they have stronger standards, higher standards than me, praise the Lord. I'm happy for that. I want that. I want it to be easier for them, but there's a danger in that as well, okay? Because when you get saved and then you have to stand, you're like, no, this is what we believe, and you're having to, you're the first generation Christian, you're taking all these stands against your family, that does something for your faith. It builds your faith up. And I'm trying not to preach right now, but I'm getting excited about some of this stuff, because you look here, you go back to the book of Judges, read the book of Judges, okay? And the ones that fought the battle, they stood strong. But it says there in, I think, chapter 3, chapter 4, after that last generation that fought the battles died off, it's talking about going back to Joshua. It's in Judges, but it's talking when Joshua was alive. And when that generation died off, there grew up a generation that knew not God, didn't know the battles that they'd been through. Watch out, that's that second generation. You guys watch out, because you haven't fought the battles. You better get your own battles that you're going to fight. You better believe this book and stand on this book. I'm telling you, there's going to be enough battles if you believe it and you'll own this book. And that's where salvation comes in. You got to get saved. I wouldn't care for anything of the Bible if I wasn't saved. I don't care what it says. I didn't care what it said. But you've got to start to care. You've got to get saved. Salvation will make the difference in your life. You will be a new creature. You got to get saved. If you're in here and you're in the preaching week in and week out, and you're like, my parents dragged me to this and or whatever the case may be, but you're coming here and you're like, I don't care for what pastor's saying. I can't wait till he's done. When can we go home? I want to go eat. If that's your attitude, you better take a real good look at your salvation. You better take a real good look at it. If you don't ever want to read the Word of God, if you never want to read the Bible, you better take a real good look at your salvation. If you don't ever want to be around God's people, you better take a real good look at your salvation. Because it's likely that you're not saved. That's the first thing, you got to get saved. And then you got to stand. You got to stand. Fight some battles. Some of us, you know, just absolute cowards when it comes to standing for the Bible. There's a lot of men out there that are cowards. They say, I'm a man. I'll fight for my wife. Why don't you fight for your family then? How come you let the devil come in and pull them away? How come you let all this garbage into your home that's going to hurt your family, that's going to draw your family away from Christ? Huh? Be a man. Come on, stand up then. Stand up. It's not easy. You better fight some battles. And lead your family in that. Lead them. Help them. Everybody in here has to decide for themselves where they're going to stand, what they're going to do. But you better, because we're in a real spiritual warfare. And you think, that's not going to affect me. I won't get away from the Lord. Yes, you will. There's no telling what you'll do when you get away from the Lord. Look at what King Solomon did. Look at his wives, because he didn't listen to God. All those 900 wives that he had turned his heart away from God, and he went into idolatry. following after false gods. Look at what Samson did. Look at what Lot did. Man, the preacher yesterday was talking about Lot. I think it was yesterday. Maybe it was somewhere else. I hear so much preaching. It might have been at the other service I was at. I don't know. Anyway, he was talking about Lot. So if you've heard this before, that's okay. He was talking about Lot. I think it was at the marriage conference. And he said, look, it might have been to the men. But he said, look, Lot could handle it. It was to the men. All right, sorry. It's all coming back to me as I'm talking. I say things out loud that I probably shouldn't that I'm thinking. Anyway, okay. But he was talking to the men, and he said, look, there was things that Lot could handle that his family could not, his wife couldn't. Husbands, it was a great truth. He said, you don't need to tell your wife everything, because there's some things a lady just can't handle like a man, because God made us different. Amen. That's the truth right there. That's the truth, because Lot, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was able to be there in Sodom, and he might not have had the testimony that he should have, and he didn't, absolutely didn't have the testimony that he should have, but he was able to leave that city and still was standing for the Lord, and not in a good way. I'm not trying to say that, but he was a saved man. The Bible tells us he was saved. Lot could endure it, but his family did not. His wife didn't. She was in the same environment as him, and she didn't take it. Not everyone can take it. We better guard our families. We better protect our families. Each of you have to decide if you're going to stand or not. I want my kids more than anything to grow up and know the Lord, love the Lord, serve the Lord. I don't care how. I want them in God's will. And when I say that, God's will doesn't mean that my son needs to be a preacher or anything like that. It doesn't mean that. If that's what God wants for him, that's what I want. God wants him to go be a fireman. That's what I want. I don't care. I want him to in God's will. I want my girls in God's will. That's what I want. I want 20 years from now that my kids are still in church, still serving the Lord, still loving God. But that will only happen if they make that choice. They have to choose to love God themselves. They have to choose to. I'm going to stand and fight. Oh, even in a Christian school. Yeah, there's some wicked kids there too. Everywhere. Everywhere. They're going to have to choose. Where am I going to stand? Everyone in here is going to have to do that. You're going to go to work. And you're going to have to choose where to stand. You can let everything slip by. You can say nothing. I might lose my job. You might. But you might, you know, get a attaboy from your Savior. What's it going to be? Good girl. That's my daughter. From your Lord. We have to decide. All right, I hit this button a few times. All right, we're talking about that right there. Encyclopedias, magazines, newspapers, and museums. That view prevailed for nearly half a century. That these were truth. Piltdown man, Nebraska man. Since the 1960s, scientists have been re-examining Neanderthal. They now admit that he could talk and he did not walk like an ape. Neanderthal was reclassified as an Homo sapien, meaning a man rather than any kind of ape. What do you know? Lo and behold, see, when you get let an artist and they're coming into it with a preconceived idea of what they need to believe, that evolution is true, so we're going to force this pig tooth to fit into this philosophy that we're teaching, into this ideology we've bought into, we're going to force it to happen, so now here's how you need to make this picture look. You say, is that what they said to the artist? No, but this is the thinking that's going on in their head as they put this together and say, no, you need to make him hairier. You know, slope his forehead to look more like an ape. I mean, these are the types of things. No, he would look more like this. And what do we see? I mean, slope forehead, you know, big jaw. Okay, he's all hairy. I mean, I know there's some hairy guys like that, but, you know, not all of us. Right? I mean, why? Because we want to make him look more like an ape. Recent depictions of Neanderthal show him more human, but he still looks like a Stone Age caveman because they want to perpetuate this myth. And just think of the name Neanderthal man. I mean, that is already ingrained, at least in my head, that that's like, oh, it's like a caveman. Anybody else? Come on, right? I mean, you think, oh, Neanderthal, yeah, that's like a, you know, guy walking around, you know, something like that. I mean, isn't that what we think of when we think Neanderthal? Why? Because that they're perpetuating that myth. So even in this, he still looks like that. The 1930s Neanderthal man, 1970s Chicago Field Museum, they changed him some. Looks more ape-like in one than the other. Smithsonian Natural History Museum, here we go. American Museum of Natural History. Here's what I'm talking about. Look, they, you know, you can't really see his body, but they still make him look all hairy, like there's anything wrong with having a beard. I mean, what's wrong with those people? No. But then look at this guy. Look how hairy he is. I mean, what? They're trying to perpetuate a myth. That's what they're pushing off. The human story, Victoria Museum. I mean, look at how they make them look. Again, you can see just the whole race thing. What, if you were to classify these people as someone here on earth, what would you say they look like? Black people. That's what you'd say they look like. Why? Because they're trying to perpetuate that myth. So I say when eugenics, we're talking about eugenics, which is basically the extinction, the extermination of races. This is why, I mean, Hitler was able to do what he did. Because evolution. I mean, it has consequences to believe these things, and it still does to this day. Margaret Sanger, look into her, please. Just if you're going to argue abortion with people, look into Margaret Sanger. She was a eugenicist. She thought black people were below them and were a lower race. And why do you find Planned Parenthood planted in lower income black neighborhoods, minority neighborhoods? Why is that where they're all at? Well, because they haven't evolved to this higher status. I'm telling you, this is the facts of what this stuff is. Look into it. The British Museum of Natural History. In truth, Neanderthals were simply men. They were sons of Adam. There never has been a Stone Age. Some men have lived in caves, but there are no cavemen. Neanderthal was long used as evidence of human evolution from apes, but it was a myth. It's made up, but it's caused a lot of people to believe in evolution and to reject the Bible. Lucy. All right, Lucy is a name given to the fossils of an ape that is supposed to be a missing link between apes and man. The creature was given a human name for advertising purposes. Many museums feature models of Lucy. Museum of Man in San Diego, there's Lucy. Michigan State University Museum, there's Lucy. You think they'd get the same one, wouldn't you? I mean, it's all one set of bones at least. You think they'd just use the same one? Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, British Museum of Natural History, Chicago Field Museum, American Museum of Natural History, New York City. The fossil bones were found in 1974 in Ethiopia by Donald Johansson. The fossil was named Lucy because the Beatles' song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was playing at the camp party that night. By the way, don't listen to the Beatles. That's a wicked satanic group right there. Look, he's making the sign of the devil right there. But here I want to point something out to you, what this song is really talking about. Most people don't catch it, okay? This was the drug culture. Look here. Lucy, L, in the sky, S, with diamonds, D, LSD. Who knows what that is? Acid. That's what that song's talking about, by the way. All right, moving on. Johansson was showered with international acclaim. Lucy lifted him from relative obscurity to fame and fortune. So this man made a fortune off of this. This reminds us that evolutionists are highly motivated to prove evolution. Why? Because they can make it rich. Here are the bones they found. The creature stood about 3.5 feet high. So this is it. This is the bones they found. And look. And there we go. That's the model we got from that. All the different ones. I mean, dark skin, light skin. Hairier in some, not as hairy in others. The evolutionary name is Australopithecus afarensis. Australopithecus is the name that evolutionists have given to apes that they believe were the predecessors to man. Look, they've given it to apes. Johansson and other scientists claim that Lucy walked upright, which was the first step toward becoming human. I mean, how do they know that was the first step, if it even did happen, which it didn't? But I mean, if it did, how do they know that's the first step? I mean, one day, you know, you got moms like this, you know, crawling on her knuckles and dragging her knuckles, and then, you know, the son comes out and he's not dragging his knuckles. I mean, what? How does that work? How do they determine when that happens? Textbooks and museums depict Lucy as a short, hairy ape woman. She has an ape-like head, but human arms and hands and human legs and feet. By the way, evolution says we're progressing, right? We're getting better. Isn't that what evolution teaches? Well, if we came from apes, think about this one. I mean, I would not, even with a monkey, I would not want to be in a fight with a monkey. Why? Because those things are like way stronger than we are. I mean, has any of you ever seen like people who've been attacked by like their pet monkey and that thing like rips them to shreds? I mean, a monkey that's like, you know, maybe from here to like this tall, and that thing is super strong, rips them to shreds. So if we're evolving and getting better, then why are we getting weaker? If we went from an ape to a human, why did we lose strength? If wouldn't we need that? All right. This is the model at the British Museum of Natural History in London. This one right here. All right, she looks like she's got a burrito or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't know what that is. All right. Lucy is an evolutionary fable. And look, there's the kid that she supposedly had. I don't know how they knew that. And look, what does she look like in this drawing? A black person. That's what they're trying to get across. Okay? That's what they're trying to get across. Even many evolutionists don't believe that the creature walked upright. There's no consensus of opinion, yet the drawings always depict it walking like a man. Why? It puts a picture in our head and we begin to believe it. It's indoctrination. Dr. Solly Zuckerman of the University of Birmingham in England, he and his team of scientists studied the fossils of an Australopithecus for 15 years. Man, that would be a boring job, I'm just saying. 15 years studying one fossil. Dr. Solly Zuckerman, they are just apes. There you have it. What they claim Lucy was is just an ape. Fits just like an ape. But, you know, that guy probably was branded a lunatic or something. He said they carried their heads like apes and not like man beyond the ivory tower. Zuckerman was not a Christian and did not believe in creation. But he was persecuted. There it is. I didn't know that was coming. But he was persecuted by evolutionists for questioning the ape man theory. You know, he probably got like suicided or something. You know, you're like, what? You know, I'm just like, I would hate to be friends with Hillary Clinton. I'm just throwing that out there. Like everyone that talks to that lady ends up dead. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, that's my little joke. Okay. Everyone gets suicided, you know, like they're killed. But all right, anyway, it's not funny when you have to explain it. All right. Moving on. Bill Junger's Stony Brook Institute. Lucy's legs were too short to walk like a man. Randall Sussman and Jack Stern, Stony Brook University, they described Lucy's hands and feet as being long and curved, typical of a tree-dwelling ape. Randall Sussman said that the creature's curved ape-like finger bones and its long arms relative to its legs speak of tree living. Ape versus human feet. Chimpanzee, you can see right there, gorillas, human. Big difference there. Okay, the creature's big toe stuck out as in chimpanzees. Russell Tuttle, University of Chicago. Curved fingers and toes are ape-like for grasping tree branches. Hey, let's ignore the evidence though, because that doesn't push our agenda. So push that aside. Forget what the evidence says. Christian Tardot, anthropologist in Paris. Lucy's locking mechanism was not developed. The locking mechanism in the knees allows humans to stand upright comfortably. You know, you lock your knees, you're... All right, so we can stand here for long periods or whatever. Dr. Fred Spur at University College London, using CT scans of Lucy's inner ear canals, he concluded they did not walk habitually upright. Dr. Jack Stern Jr., Lucy walked funny, not like humans. Dr. Eric Stockstad, Lucy had the morphology that was classic of knuckle walkers, just like that. In Kathmandu, I saw a macaw monkey walk upright for about 100 feet, but they can't do it easily or naturally. Why? Because they're built to be leaning over. The Lucy reconstructions are fables. This is not science. Let's see if I can find this. I think it's 2 Timothy. Turn there with me if you would, please. No, 1 Timothy 6:20. These are fables, not science. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, vain, empty babblings, just they're running their mouth, nothing, they're not saying anything, profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Science falsely so-called. True science always agrees with the Bible. But Paul is warning Timothy, hey, avoid these oppositions of science, falsely so-called. This stuff, it's not science. It's falsely so-called. She didn't have human hands, yet the models have human hands. Why? They're pushing an agenda. The British Museum of Natural History has her holding that, I don't know what, it's a turnip or something. It looked like a burrito on the last one. Chicago Field Museum, American Museum of Natural History, Museum of man in San Diego, human hands, human feet. She didn't have human feet, yet the models have human feet. Look how they put a little more spread right there, though. British Museum of Natural History in London, there it is. She's got feet. American Museum of Natural History's got feet. Michigan State University, why, they're pushing something. The St. Louis Zoo has Lucy on display with human feet and hands. No feet or hand bones were found. The purpose of the display is not for education, but for indoctrination and evolutionary theory. That's why they do it. She didn't have human proportioned legs, yet the models have human proportioned legs. She didn't have human proportioned arms, yet the models have human proportioned arms. So she had shorter legs, longer arms, but they don't portray her like that. All the evolutionary stories about ape men are fairy tales. They have never explained how an ape could make the giant leap to become a man. For an ape to evolve into a man would require changes that would be miraculous. The ape would have to evolve human posture, which they do not have.